way they pick TV shows is they make one show. That show's called a pilot. Then they show that one show to the people who pick shows. And on the strength of that one show, they decide if they want to make more shows. Some get chosen and become television programs. Some don't. Become nothing.
Welcome to Drop the Pilot, a podcast dedicated to TV pilots that became nothing. I'm Jimmy.
I'm Jen.
And today we're going to be talking about Making It Legal from 2007. Although you would think it's from 1997 or 1992 or 1987. This is garbage. Anyway, it was written by Jeff Judah. I think I've written the right name, I don't know.
Jeff Gabe Judah Sachs, and Gabe Sachs.
Who wrote for shows such as Just Shoot Me and Freaks and Geeks, The Night Shift, and the reboot of 90210. They also wrote a couple of those Diary of a Wimpy Kid movies. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was directed by Gary Halvorsen, who has directed a lot of award shows and TV specials and Macy's TV parades and episodes of Friends. So that just goes to show his resume. Right, Jen, I have to ask you, what did you think of Making It Legal?
I understand why it didn't make it to air.
Yeah.
It was not great. Once again, I have a few somewhat nice things to say about it, like I usually do, unless it's Young MacGyver. If you're going to talk about something that's bad, you want it to be fun bad and not boring bad. Mm-hmm. If it's boring bad, there's just not much you can say. And the lesson I learned when we talked about that was that I should only pick pilots I probably would have watched anyway. Mm-hmm. And the funny thing is, when I sat down to watch it this morning, I don't know if you told me this was a sitcom, but if you had, I'd forgotten. And just with with the Jeff Judah and Gabe Sachs and then Scott Wolf, those three names just made me assume it was an hour long. And when it started and I saw it was 21 minutes, I was like, oh crap, this is not going to be good. And I should have known. I mean, it has Ben Savage. It has Ashley Williams. Like, it has sitcom people in it. Mm-hmm. But I was thinking I might be watching a halfway decent, like, legal drama. And this was not... not amazing, but it is something I would have watched because I like the cast, and I do actually really like Jeff Judah and Gabe Sachs. They not only wrote for Freaks and Geeks, but they did a show, God, now it's been probably 15 years or so, they did a show called Life as We Know It, and it was a teen show, I want to say on ABC, and it was actually a really good show. It only ran for a year, and it's one of those things that, like, it's a show people don't really talk about, but critics did like it, and every once in a while someone will bring it up as this, like, lost gem. I have it on DVD. I've seen it several times. But yeah. I really liked that show, so I'm very interested in watching their stuff. And they had a show called The Night Shift that also mm-hmm. had Scott Wolf on it. And it was a summer show on NBC, and they just did not really advertise it very well because I was never really aware it was still on.
I watched the first season of that, mm-hmm. and it was straight to Netflix over here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so no one knows about it over here either. So.
Yeah, I've been meaning to check it out, but I like them because the things I've seen them do up till now have been good. Mm-hmm. But I don't necessarily, even though they worked on Just Shoot Me, which is a fine sitcom, I don't think this is necessarily their medium.
No.
But
no, I don't think so at all.
But it's also, sitcom pilots are tough. I mean, this is worse than usual, but... it's very rare you see especially a multi-camera sitcom pilot and think, oh, that was mm-hmm. really good.
Yeah, it was just, I didn't find it funny, and it's quite problematic in places, and I wanted to like it because I do like members of the cast. I mean, poor Ben Savage just hasn't really found his thing other than, I mean, this is a show that he did between being the kid in Boy Meets World and being the dad in Girl Meets World.
Yeah.
He hasn't really done anything else, which is a shame because he is actually really quite a strong comedy actor, and that is probably because he was in a sitcom from the age of, what, 10 or something?
Yeah.
So he's honed those skills and he's really good at it, but he just doesn't, he's never found that thing where, that breakout away from the role that made him famous as a child, which is a shame.
Well, and shout out to Girl Meets World, because I watched that show, and that was a good show.
Me too. was a good show.
It was a really good show, and I was so upset they canceled it, because it was very delightful. It's hard sometimes to watch kids' shows as an adult, but that one I really, really liked, and it was just growing stronger as it went on. So I'm really sad it got canceled, and he was still so good at that role.
He was,
He needs something a little more slapsticky, I think, than what he... There's really not a lot these days that is kind of built for him. Like, maybe something on CBS, like one of those white guy sitcoms. But but I will say, so one of the reasons you suggested this, or the reason you suggested this to me, was because Scott Wolf's in it, and I do a Party of Five podcast. Mm-hmm. And I've gotten a little ahead of my podcast recently, just rewatching the whole show. And Ben Savage is in a few episodes. And he's got kind of a funny role, but it's not a comedy. And he's pretty good. Mm-hmm.
He's done straight roles. I mean, he played young Mandy Patinkin in an episode of Criminal Minds.
Oh, really?
Mandy Patinkin's character, he hadn't been in the show for, what, 10 seasons mm-hmm. or something? Because he left that show because he hated it. But it was a milestone episode. So instead of getting Mandy Patinkin back, they killed his character off and just had Ben Savage play him forming the BAU. And he was really good in that role. Because it was a straight role, there was no comedy in it at all, and he was really good in it. So he can do drama, but he just hasn't been given, you know, a fair shake. I don't think he needs a show of his own. His brother can direct it because his friend's a director.
Well, I'm surprised they've never done anything together. I mean, they did. I think they were both in like Little Monsters together when they were kids.
But yeah,
they've never done a show together, and I would totally be down for that.
Yeah, absolutely. Fred directed episodes of Boy Meets World, or no, Girl Meets World, I think. Mm-hmm. So he has directed them, and Fred was in an episode of Boy Meets World at one point. He played a teacher that was trying to seduce Topanga.
Oh my god!
And Corey punches him.
Oh, I don't remember that. Oh my god! I need to find that. He's a really great television director. He's done a lot of episodes of Sunny. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. And like, he's done an interesting range of shows.
Good on him for finding his niche. But poor old Ben.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, it took a while for him to show up in this episode. I'd already forgotten he was supposed to be in it.
Yeah, he does take a while. Right, so I'll just go through the plot very quickly here. Okay. So the show follows lawyers in a law firm that I didn't write down the name of. I meant to and forgot. they're preparing for a trial. Two members, Josh and Julie, are fighting for partnership, and they also just slept together for the first time the night before. New member Trevor, or Todd, if you look at the IMDb entry, he's called Todd there, but his name is actually Trevor. I had to double check, but they do say Trevor like 20 times in this pilot, so it's weird that they put Todd in IMDb. Anyway, he comes in and saves the day. Although I'm not quite sure how he saves the day, because he basically just does exactly what everyone was doing throughout the entire pilot. And then all of a sudden when he does it, it's saving the day. I don't understand.
Well, okay. Anyway. Oh, I have things to say about that. Do you want me to go into it now or wait?
Just give me 2 seconds. I'll finish this wee synopsis off. Josh and Julie decide to be friends and they party at the end because they win the trial. Right, carry on. Well, that's all I need to write. It's a sitcom. You don't need to write a full thing.
Well, okay, so with the thing with Trevor, it felt like there was a deleted scene. There was a scene that was missing, because they're trying to figure out a way to win this case. Like, they're trying to, they're about to like research to find another case to use as an example, to get their way. And he says, you know how some dads play, you know, baseball with their kid. But then it, mm-hmm. he doesn't, the scene doesn't go on much longer. And I mean, obviously the thing is that like his dad talked about, like he taught him about cases and stuff. And so yeah. Trevor is a character that actually comes with a lot of knowledge. And, but it didn't, I didn't feel like they did a great job of making it clear that that's what was going on. Either that or I spaced out while he was saying it, but I don't think they got into it. And that was frustrating to me because, you know, he's the trope of like, you know, the son coming to work for the dad and everybody resents him because, you know, he's some spoiled kid. And the idea mm-hmm. that he comes in with even more knowledge, like, you know, maybe an encyclopedic knowledge of law and cases because of his father, that is something you don't see very often. Like, that it's not even that he went to law school to try so hard, but it's just like, it's like psych, right? Like, his mm-hmm. dad just, he just grew up with his dad teaching him all this stuff, and so now he's good at it. And I really, really liked that idea, but right. they did not execute that well. And I thought that would have been something really interesting to focus on a little more.
Yeah, because all the way through, you see them enacting the trial, what they're going to say to the guy who's on trial or whatever. I don't know what the bloody thing is. Anyway, and they're doing that, and Trevor tries, and he's not very good at it. But then later on, he does it, and he's great at it. And then all of a sudden, that's him saving the day. And he runs in and points out something on a piece of paper, and Josh and Julie suddenly get it. But then what they do is what they've been doing the entire time anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand how he did it. I don't understand what it was he did that was supposed to have been this miraculous thing that saved the day.
Yeah, I assumed what it was that he knew of a case. I swear something must have been deleted.
Must have been. You're right.
Because I could see exactly where they were going, and then they didn't get into it. And I thought it was one of the more interesting plot points, but it was executed horribly. And I also want to just mention with the case they were working on that Amanda Detmer played the wife in the divorce. And I really mm-hmm. like her, and they wasted her.
Yeah. She don't even think she has a line, does she?
She says something about her boobs. Like, she got a boob job.
Oh, God, yeah.
But, like, she's...
Yeah.
I really like her, and I was looking forward to seeing her in this, and I was really disappointed that that's what they had her doing. The more that I think about it, the more I think that there's a way that they could have taken the script if they had made it into an hour-long legal, like, kind of David E. Yeah. Kelly-type dramedy, that it could have worked really well, because... One of the things I do like about law shows is when they get into the cases, like, it sounds like if they were able to flesh out the storyline a little more, it would be more interesting. You know, the whole thing with the husband hiding money and stuff.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. This would have been better as an hour-long drama rather than a sitcom, yeah.
And they, I mean, if you watch, like, so many law shows are still very funny, even if they're mm-hmm. hour-longs. And I think, and this has a cast that could do that. Scott Wolf, and I'll say, yep. I thought Scott Wolf was actually pretty funny most of the time. He has a charm that, I mean, I haven't seen him do comedy a lot, so I kind of thought it would be worse.
No, he's really good in this.
And Ashley Williams, I have seen her do a lot of TV, and a lot of it has been very bad, but she is always good. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing.
And she's the sister of Kimberly Williams.
Okay, I was thinking earlier that she was someone's sister, but I couldn't remember.
Yeah, Kimberly Williams, who I know from, well, you'll know from the daughter from Father's Bride.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but she's been in a lot of things. But
yeah, this, the thing that sucks about sitcom pilots is that so often they are terrible. And I've watched enough of them that I can see the potential even in a pile of shit. Mm-hmm. And so watching this, like, it wasn't good, and I certainly wouldn't continue watching it because of the transphobia, which we can talk about later. But I could see how with this cast and with these writers that I think are generally very good, that it could have turned into a better show.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think I could have stuck around for it. And I'm someone who will stick around a sitcom for a while and wait for it to get good.
Yeah. I've said it before, I'm not a huge fan of sitcoms, modern sitcoms. I'm not a massive fan of them, but I do actually prefer studio sitcoms, multicam sitcoms. I don't know why, just if I've said this before, but I think it's just because I like the audience reaction. It's like a theatre type thing. I do like that interaction. But yeah, this was... And the transphobia, we'll get into it because I'm going to go through the characters, but the transphobia, that probably could have been sort of fleshed out a wee bit more as well if it was an hour long. It could have, like, you know, been... It wouldn't have been as jokey, I don't think, if it was an hour long, and they could have made the character a bit better. But anyway, speaking of characters, we'll go through these characters and talk about them.
Okay.
So we've got Josh, who's played by Scott Wolfe, or the reason that Jen wanted to cover this pilot. but he is good, Scott Wolfe.
He's a really good actor, and it's very frustrating to me that people kind of don't really realize he's around, and he works steadily, but he was on Everwood for a couple years, and then he did that Night Shift show, and he did a show that my husband likes to bring up a lot, that God, I can't remember the name of it, but it was about a bank robbery or something. And he's in watching Party of Five, you realize that he is a very great actor, but he just somehow isn't a household name. Like Matthew Fox became a household name at a certain point, but Scott Wolf,
yeah, but that was happened. Only because they lost.
Yeah,
if Scott Wolf had his lost, then he would be a... Oh, I've got a cat trying to get in my room, go away cat. if Scott Wolf had his lost, then he would, but he's just sort of... The thing about Scott Wolf is he seems to be stuck in these roles that he gets hired as a sort of recurring character, but they like him so much that they always bump him up to regular. That happened in Night Shift, and it happened in Perception. So why aren't more people hiring him to be the lead in things? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because if they're thinking, well, we've hired him for a recurring, we probably watched Party 5 back in the day, we're hiring him as a recurring, he's really damn good, why don't we get him as a regular? But people don't seem to be like saying, well, why don't we have him as a regular straight away? Why don't we hire Scott Wolf? And that's quite, you know, maybe a lot of them watched Double Dragon and were like, no, you're all right. But he's much better than that. He is a really talented actor and he deserves more. Yeah, the problem I have with Josh in this is, at the beginning, he seems a little bit like first season Sheldon Cooper from The Big Bang Theory at times.
that's actually a really good observation. Yeah.
He seems quite sort of, he's got the OCD and he's slightly manic at times, but he's just had sex, which is different from Sheldon, but he still has that sort of manic sort of personality, and he's got the OCD and stuff.
So there's a lot of problematic stuff in this episode, but at one point Julie says, it's called OCD, Rain Man. We're not supposed to make Rain Man jokes anymore, right?
No. No, that well, as of now, that movie's 30 years old. So then it would have been, what, 20 years old?
Yeah, because I mean, if you're calling someone Rain Man, you're basically making fun of autism, right?
Exactly. Yeah, it's not on. I cringed as soon as I heard that.
Yeah, we can't. That's not acceptable anymore. There was a time where it was that you could get away with it, but this is 2007.
Exactly. Oh, hey, we're going to get into it. There's other things, right? Julie is played by Ashley Williams, as we mentioned, and she is the smart, strong woman type who makes fun of people because that's comedy. Sorry.
Oh, I like her. Like, I mean, it's not like it was the most well-written thing, but I just feel like Ashley Williams plays it in a way where it's much funnier than it should be.
No, she's good.
I really like her. She was good on How I Met Your Mother. She did a terrible show called Good Morning Miami, but she was one of the reasons I watched it. And she was on the Jim Gaffigan show, and she was fantastic on that.
Right.
She's one of those people that kills it on sitcoms. It's just that they usually don't make it very long.
Right. We've spoke about Ben Savage, and I think he's an underrated comedy performer. Speaking of good comedy, though, there's actually quite a good piece of comic timing here. The very first scene where Josh is avoiding Julie,
mm-hmm.
and we see him running in the background and escaping every... She's walking in the foreground and he's trying to escape every time in the background, and I thought that was really well done. I don't know how many edits were in that, how many times it took them to do it, and they've just chopped it together. But I did quite like that, and I thought, well, this is quite promising. This is quite well done, but then that, they blew it.
Well, that just makes me realize another thing I did like about the pilot is that, so, you know, the whole thing is about how Josh and Julie just slept together, and it's I don't think they do a fantastic job of making this clear, but it seems as though they were friends before, and they were maybe, yes. like, work best friends, and this has possibly ruined it, but the thing is, he left her place at, like, 4 a.m, snuck out,
mm-hmm.
and you can tell, like, she's upset that he left, because that sucks. But she seems to have a good sense of humor about the entire situation. Like, when he's mm-hmm. avoiding her at first, that's the sort of thing where some people might have had the character get really angry he was avoiding her. But she yeah. just seemed amused. And I liked mm-hmm. that. There's a lot of tropes in this where I feel like, I don't know if it's, you know, if it was the writers or if it's the actors, although I know a lot of it is the actors, but they take these tropes and they just twist them a little to where I'm not too upset. It's a bit of a redeeming quality to me, because I've seen so many sitcoms and it's usually the woman wouldn't be so good natured about the fact that he left.
Yeah, no, that was another reason why I thought it was quite promising in this first scene, where he is the one who's all sort of OCD about it, and she's just sort of playing it off, having a laugh,
mm-hmm.
Even makes fun of his penis size a little, stuff like that. And it's like, well, this is good. She's well written enough in this, and mm-hmm. She's not like angry at him. And then as soon as I said that, when I was thinking, well, there's no angry women in this, then the next woman of the cast walks in, Elise, played by Adra Field, I think I wrote,
mm-hmm.
And she is angry on the phone, and I was like, oh, bollocks, they've just went and ruined it.
Yeah.
And then she is the angry woman, angry at her boyfriend, and then later on she's drunk woman, and it's like, what are you doing? This is not. And then in the same scene we have the sassy black secretary who I wrote down who she was played by, Lynn Whiteley, or Whitley, that's Teresa, and she's a sassy black secretary whose every line is stereotypical.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a stereotypical one-liner. She even bloody says, oh no, you didn't, at one point.
Oh, she did. I missed that.
Yeah.
Or maybe I blocked it out already. Well, and once again, like, I like these actresses. The woman who played Elise was on Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip, which...
All right, yeah, I like that show.
I do too. and then the one who played Teresa, I've seen her in a ton of... Like, she has a million credits. She was on Curb Your Enthusiasm for a couple episodes. She's very funny. Like, I truly believe this is the kind of show that if they'd been given a full season, they could have maybe twisted it into something good. Or at least something Absolutely. Watchable. And it's so much of that is because every name here that I'm looking at on IMDb is somebody that I enjoy watching. I haven't seen the guy who plays Ethan a whole lot.
He's in Madam Secretary at the moment.
Yeah, and I haven't watched that. I've actually been wanting to watch it. I've never watched it. He was in an episode of Undeclared, and I thought he was really funny, and the whole thing was like... He's really annoying and likes to do impressions all the time. And this is a character I think that if you're addressing the fact that it's annoying, he could be a good character. But if it's just supposed to be his fun thing, that's not funny.
Yeah, because that's how it's treated. That is though. It's like every time he does it. Although the first time, his character Ethan is the one who knows Ben Savage's character. Mm-hmm. And he's the one who brings him into the law firm. But that's basically all that is. And even he, when he's doing impressions in the bathroom, Ben Savage just sort of standing there bemused. And it should have been addressed more. It should have been like, you know, shut up with your impressions kind of thing. Or just people just rolling their eyes every time he does them.
Mm-hmm.
But later on, it's sort of, yeah, it's that's his funny thing, and it's not funny at all.
Do you know who he's married to?
No.
Christina Hendricks.
From... Seriously?
Yes. Yeah, they've been married for like 10 years.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the first time I heard who she married. I was like, wait, that weird guy from Undeclared? But that's my fun fact for you.
Oh, yes, so he is. Jeffrey Arend is married to Christina. Oh, my God.
I know. But one question I do have about that character. Like,
he married up.
Yeah, I know. And they're very... I've seen many pictures of them together. They're very cute together. So, but one thing I don't understand about his first scene is it's like he brought Trevor into the law firm, but Trevor's dad runs the law firm.
Yeah.
What? Why?
That makes no sense.
What happened? Yeah,
exactly.
Like, is this just sloppiness? Like, is it one of those things where they had one story in the draft and then they changed it and forgot to like take out a line? Or once again, I wonder, is there a deleted scene that maybe can explain to me why this weird guy who does impressions got him a job at his own father's law firm?
I know, it's weird. Because I would understand that if Ben Savage was a character that we're following through this,
mm-hmm.
because he's the new guy, and you would think that that's what it is, that we're following Ben Savage meeting all these people.
Yeah.
And that was like his way in was Ethan, and that's how we meet Ethan, but it's not. Ben Savage is barely in this.
Well, and that's the other problem with this pilot is that it's two different kinds of pilots. Like, you have the pilot mm-hmm. where everything's the same, but this one thing has changed. Like, Josh and Julie have slept together. That's so many pilots, right? Where, like, one thing has changed the situation. But then you also have the fish out of water storyline of Trevor. And it's just... I mean, they make it clear the Josh and Julie thing is the thing we're supposed to be concentrating more on. But I feel like there's too much... Those are two different things that maybe shouldn't be in the same pilot.
It feels as though it's a pilot that's trying to have it both ways. It's trying to have two leads in Josh and Julie and their drama. And it's also trying to be an ensemble
mm-hmm.
at the same time. And it doesn't quite gel. It doesn't work because the other characters just don't do anything. So it seems as though that the pilot is at odds with itself because it's trying to have this will they won't they thing going on, and these two are in for the majority of the pilot. It's mostly those two, except when we're following Ben Savage, but then he just sort of disappears for the rest of it
mm-hmm.
and then turns up every now and then to make a joke and then disappear again. But we should be following him, I think. We should be meeting people through... I know that's a trope, but it does work.
Yeah.
The new guy, we should be following the new guy, meeting these people, but we're not, because the first people we meet are Josh and Julie. And then we meet the best friend and or whoever she is, the drunk one, and the secretary, and then we meet Ben Savage. We meet Ben Savage, then we meet Robert Wagner later.
But then I also wonder, so is Ben Savage really just supposed to be a smaller character and we're just assuming he's bigger because to us, Ben Savage is more of a star? You know what I mean? Like,
no, I know what you mean, but I think he's supposed to be bigger in it. Because he's the new guy and his dad, I think as the show went on, it would have been more... to do with his father as well, I think. Mm-hmm. Because why would you say his father runs a law firm if they're not going to do anything with it later on? So I feel as though that's planted there for a reason, but in this pilot, he does nothing apart from knock himself out.
Yeah. And he's very good at that. He's a very good physical comedian.
He's very good, yeah. He just doesn't have much to do in this. Robert Wagner plays the boss. And there's not much there. He has a scene where he says what is supposed to be a lot of funny sexual innuendo, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And the audience are like laughing their guts up, and it's like, this isn't funny at all. But here we go. And now I think it's time to talk about Pauline.
Finally. This is all I want to talk about.
This is all you want. Yeah.
Okay, let me just remind you that this was 2007 and that we recently discussed a pilot from 2007 called Nurses that was not a great pilot, but I praised them for how they handled the transgender storyline. This is the same year. So watching this and thinking, oh, well, it was 12 years ago. Things have changed. And then thinking about what we saw in the Nurses pilot makes this even more unacceptable to me.
Yeah.
This is terrible. There's the character Paula. Like Ethan talks about going on a date with her and he says there's still some Paul left, if you know what I mean.
Is it not Pauline?
Is it Pauline? I don't know. I thought they said Paula, but it doesn't matter. They still call her Paul, which you're not supposed to call somebody by their dead name. So that's bad. And it was bad enough when it was just that one joke. And then it's
constant.
Well, because what really pissed me off, like the thing that made me really, really angry, was that there's a scene in the men's room and Pauline comes in and that's not what would happen. If you're a transgender woman, you would be going to the women's restroom. Like that.
Yeah.
So it's not only is it a defensive joke, but it just doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. And it's just using like that kind of comedy is so lazy.
Like I said, that this joke is what knocks this pilot back into the 90s. It's unacceptable for this to be 2007. Seriously, there is so much. I mean, as a throwaway gag, it's kind of sort of, because the first we learn of it is this guy who I didn't write down his name because he's barely in it, but he said that he went out with Pauline or Paul or whatever. We're debating the name, it doesn't matter. But he went out with her, but there's still a little bit of Paul left, if you know what I mean, blah, blah, blah. That's, you know, that would have been, it's not great, but that should have been it. But then she actually comes into the bathroom and starts peeing next to, what's his face's character? I can't remember who it was. And that's like, okay, right, fair enough, you didn't need that. But then she comes back again and is the butt of the joke again because Ben Savage has knocked himself out and he's lying on the couch and his head, for some reason, is on her lap and he says, what am I lying on? Because, ha-ha, she has a penis, it's hilarious. And it's like, what the fuck are you doing? It's 2007, what the hell? What is this?
Well, and the other thing that makes that just makes the bathroom joke not make sense to me is the idea that, like, they keep saying that she used to be a man, and they say it as though it's, like, new information. But if she uses the men's restroom, why wouldn't they know?
Everybody should know. Everybody should know that Pauline or Paula exists. Everybody should know. But they make it as though it's, I mean, understand, again, this is why Ben Savage should have been the character to learn all this information from. And we do sort of a bit because he's in the toilet when it happens, when that's said, but he's also the one who rests his head on. I don't understand why his head is on her lap. I don't understand why she is only there for that joke.
Yeah.
That could have been one of the any of the other female characters, but because this they want to put this joke in with this woman has a penis because she's transitioning, they think that that's hilarious. So it could have been any of the other female characters. It could have been, Christ, I wouldn't have been bothered if it was a sassy black character and then she made a joke about him looking at her boobs or something. That wouldn't have bothered me as much. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because that's her character from what we know so far. The one-liner spewing character. But this was just, this is unacceptable.
The fact that this, that somebody even paid for this to get made is so frustrating. And the thing is like, you know,
ABC.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing is, the whole time I was wondering, I was like, what network would this be? And I saw, I mean, it was ABC Studios, so
you know, it might have been somebody else, yeah.
But the only network I could see that on would be CBS.
What was Nurses? Nurses was Fox, wasn't it?
I think so.
Yeah, Nurses was Fox, yeah.
It's
which, strange, the one that was in the fucking Fox network is the one that was more nicer to a trans character.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, I don't know how, I don't remember the name of the show, but it's been, you know, there was that show on ABC where they did the like it was the men pretending to be women to get a job, and that's been, yeah. I want to say that's been within the last decade. So I think part of the problem is we keep thinking that we came farther earlier than we did.
Because Christ, they did that. Bosom Buddies was a thing in 1982, for Christ's sake. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Bosom Buddies starring Tom Hanks. But they didn't do it to try and get a job. They did it to live in a place, a nice place.
Yeah.
But that really pissed me off, that joke with what am I lying on?
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's just lazy. The thing is, there's so many people who complain about how there's certain things we can't joke about anymore. And it's like, well, most of that stuff you're upset about, if you use that for your comedy, I have always found it lazy, even before it was, you know, I knew it was necessarily supposed to be offensive. And making fun of how people look or their identity or whatever, like that is very, very lazy. It's kind of like one time I heard, there's a Sarah Silverman quote that's something about, like, you know, if you make fat jokes about someone, that's just really lazy comedy. And this is the same thing. And I know these guys are better writers than this. So I'm just kind of watching this and thinking, like, were they just trying to fulfill a contract? Like, what was going on here?
Yeah, but then why include this character at all?
Yeah.
A lot of this is just, they're just called this stereotype, the sitcom, and that would have been it. And yes, it's the laziness of it all, because I would have expected this in something from the 90s, but in 2007, we should have been past that.
Yeah.
We should be past it now. But then if you say anything about it now, people just complain that you're being too sensitive and too PC and you can't make jokes about certain things. It's like, well, of course you can't make jokes about certain things, because if it upsets someone, you shouldn't be joking about it.
Well, and it's like, you know what, you can make the jokes, but then I can bitch and moan about it really loudly. Like,
true.
That's, go for it, but, you know, a lot of us are not going to be okay with it. And it's...
Oh, free speech, it's my free speech and all that, but yeah, but my free speech is to tell you that you're a dick. And that joke is not funny and offensive.
And I've seen a lot of really, like, more progressive stuff on TV in the last week that really makes this look worse. Like, I'm not going to say the show because I don't want to spoil it, but I was watching a show, a comedy, and they were dealing with ICE and an illegal immigrant being, undocumented immigrant being taken away. And that was intense for a network sitcom. And just last night... as we're recording this, Leslie Jones on SNL was on Weekend Update talking about the abortion ban in Alabama.
Oh.
And she, I mean, obviously there were a few jokes in there, but it was mostly just her saying how she felt. And I was just like, the fact that this is something that I am watching on TV right now is kind of insane to me. And so then to watch this, it's like, in comparison to some of the shows I've watched in the past week, it made me feel really dirty. It made me feel really dirty. And this is a pilot that normally I might have defended a little more, because even though I don't think it's good, I can see how it could have become something better.
Yeah.
But not when you're using a trans person as a joke for several scenes.
Yeah. Because that's all it is. That's all that character is there for, to be the joke. She's not there to make jokes.
I have to hope if it had been picked up that maybe they would have reshot the pilot.
Yeah.
I'm not very talented or creative, but I'm pretty sure if you gave me an hour with the writers, I could fix this show. I think I could fix this show.
Yeah. This cast definitely deserved better than this.
Yeah. But you know what? What I try to remind myself when I see a lot of talented people in a pilot like this that's so awful is, I'm like, well, they for this one episode, they made more than I make all year. So,
yeah,
you know,
still paid.
Good for them. Good for them.
This never aired, I don't think, because there's no credits to it. So if this aired in 2007 or since, I'm sure we would have heard about it.
Oh, yeah, it did not air. And it's when I was Googling it, because I was trying to find out more information, there was really nothing.
There's hardly anything.
Yeah,
there's hardly anything. There's not even any people. Usually when these pilots, if you look up if you search for the pilots, there's people who have done articles on them, mm-hmm. which is good because that means I can maybe like read and get some information. But there's nothing for this at all, apart from the IMDb cast listing. And they don't even list the actress who plays Pauline or Paula. She's not even credited. So it's like, I think they're just trying to hide this. Mm-hmm. But someone found it and put it on YouTube, so good for them, so we can, you know, bitch about it.
I think on IMDb, the person credited as Hot Blonde might be that character. But I don't know.
Right. Maybe.
Whatever.
I don't know.
I hope she got paid well.
Yeah, me too, because that's just...
She probably didn't. I don't think she had any lines.
No, she didn't, did she?
Mm-mm. No, she was just there to be a joke.
Yeah, exactly. Not even the...
I'm so depressed.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Oh, fuck's sake. Right, so that's all we have time for. I'd like to thank Jen again for joining me on this. I'm really sorry you had to watch this pilot, though. you can follow the podcast at Drop the Pilot Pod on Twitter and Facebook. Send us an email, dropthepilotpod@gmail.com. Where can the people find you on the internet, Jen?
I have three podcasts.
Yeah.
I have Pilot Inspectors, where we watch pilots that made it to air. Yep. And we just did our 300th episode.
Well, yes, I noticed that. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's amazing.
I've seen so many pilots in the past few years.
Yeah.
and then I have Closer to Free, which is a Party of Five rewatch podcast. And then I also recently joined Once More with Feeling, which is a Buffy rewatch podcast. I don't know if my episodes have even started making it on because they're a little behind schedule. But I've been bad at social media lately, but I'm usually at Pilot Inspectors on Twitter.
Thank you all for listening, and I'll see you all next time. Goodbye.